Genesis 24, let's start reading in verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this mine oath, only bring not my son thither again. And a servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and sware unto him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia and unto the city of Nahor. This is a story, and I'm sure that today a lot of parents wish they were in Abraham's position, you know. Boy, I wish I'm jealous, you know. I wish I could choose the spouses for all my kids, you know, when they get up that old. And I wish I had the power to be able to tell them, okay, son, you're going to marry her. And let's say you're going to marry her and take care of all of that. But, you know, that's just not the case. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot lately. And I've been thinking, you know, we've got a lot of kids in the congregation that aren't exactly kids anymore. They're young men and they're young women. And they're getting ready to fly away, you know. We've got several graduating this year and getting ready to start lives on their own. Some going into college. We've even got a man that's going to go into the 82nd Airborne, you know, Airborne Ranger. And, you know, a lot of different directions. There's some kids, you know, I remember being in the place where I was asking God, what should I do with my life? And, you know, it's not always an easy thing to try to figure out. It's not an easy thing to be able to understand. And what I'm asked quite a bit is I'm asked quite a bit about the will of God. And if you wondered why I read this passage right here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the will of God today. I want to preach about the will of God, and I want to do it from this setting right here. In this setting right here, you've got the father who's Abraham, and he's got his servant who he sends out to find a wife for his son Isaac. And so this servant has a job to do. The servant goes out, and he's supposed to find a wife. He's supposed to bring the wife back, and that's what he's supposed to do. And he's supposed to do that because he's the servant, and he's supposed to do what his master tells him to do. You know, when we make decisions in life, we really have no right to... We definitely do not have the right to make decisions apart from God, apart from the Father. You see, the Father wants to be intimately acquainted with every decision that we make, and we run the gambit of treating the will of God. Some people just don't even consider for a minute what the will of God might be. All they want to do is go do what they're going to do, and they're going to make their decisions, and they're going to go know their way, and they don't for a minute consider what God has for them. And then there are other people that are so scared that they're going to make any kind of a mistake at all, they don't do anything, you know, they don't make any decisions. I want you to know that in this story right here, the will of Abraham was very important to that servant right there. That servant had been in his house a long time, and that servant had one job and one job only, and that was to fulfill the will of Abraham. You know, I've got a surprise for you. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you've got one job and one job alone, and that's to fulfill the will of your master. That's to fulfill the will of Jesus Christ. You don't have any decision to make any, you don't have any right to make any decisions without considering what might the will of God be for my life. Now, for some people, that might mean God's calling you into the ministry to preach and to do a work for Him. For some of you, it might be God's perfect will for you to go into the military. Some of you, it's God's will for you to go off into college. I want to say starting out that there are certain things that we know that we don't even have to talk about today that are God's will. I want you to know that wherever you go and whatever you do and whatever you get involved in life, it is God's will that you live a godly life. There's no buts and about that at all. It's God's will that you live a godly life. I don't see any debate at all. Well, should I grow up to be a godly man? You know, there's not even any question about that. You should be a godly man. Why? Because it's the will of your Father, which is in heaven. He wants you to be a godly man. Now, maybe I can't give you a scripture on what college you got to go to, okay? Oh, and what's your college? Well, I don't know, you know. That can be a tough one. I'm not here to tell you exactly what God's will is for you, and I'm not even here to clear up all the questions. All I'm saying is I would like to emphasize the fact that God's will is important. It's important that you be a godly man. It's important that you be a godly woman. This land is starving for godly women. I'm telling you, we have so few examples of godly women. You even get the women that are in leadership, you know, some of the wives of congressmen and of presidents, and just embarrassing the country with their nonsense and their foolishness. That's why you get somebody who actually carries themselves with a little bit of grace and acts ladylike and has a few characteristics and good qualities about her. You know, they're looked up to. You know, they're really raised above all the others. This country's starving for good examples. It is God's will, without a shadow of a doubt, that you be godly women. Whether you live your life single, whether you get married, you must be a godly woman. That is God's will, and there is no excuse. And believe me, you can be a godly person anywhere. You can be a godly person in the 82nd Airborne. And believe me, the military needs godly men. We've got a lot of our young men that are in the military right now. You pray for them. I would like to see every single one of them not just get by. I wouldn't like to see him just to slip by and stay out of trouble. To me, it's not enough just to stay out of trouble. That's kind of the negative, you know? Okay, we're real proud that you didn't get to drinking. We're real proud that you didn't give your life to dope. But, you know, a Christian ought to have something proactive about him. Now, I'm not saying everybody has got to revolutionize the place around them, but everyone ought to be a witness. You pray for our military men that they would be witnesses where they're at. Not only that they could say no to temptation, but they could say yes to the good things, and they could actually be strong enough to take a stand and say, I belong to Jesus Christ. How about you? Like that old blind man? Man, he just took them self-righteous Pharisees, and he says, will you also be his disciples? You know, he had a good attitude. He turned it around on him, you know? He took put the pressure on them and said, man, here's the great thing. Who ever heard of somebody opening the eyes of the blind? And yet he did it to me. Will you bow down and surrender to him and serve him like I did? You know, that's a good thing. Pray for our men and for our women that they would be like that. You know, I understand that this world is probably more wicked than it's ever been. But there is never a place, there is never a time when you cannot do God's will. Think about that. You may miss a calling every now and then. I've got a friend who missed a calling. He flat out just missed a calling. And he won't get that calling back. But he can still fulfill God's will in many areas wherever he's at. You don't get in any place, any time where you can't be godly. And if you do get in a place or in a time where it's impossible for you to be, you need to get out. You need to beat feet and get out of there and change your geographical location and get out and get part of a different crowd. But the will of God is important. You see, Abraham didn't have any complaints with this eldest servant here. And by the way, this guy he had his eldest servant there, verse 2. He ruled over all that he had. You know, this guy was pretty powerful. This guy had a lot of authority. This guy had a lot of responsibility about him. And yet when it came down to it, when Abraham was ready to command him, he was the one that had to bow his knee, and he was the one that had to put his hand under his thigh. And I'm telling you, every single one of us, no matter how much responsibility we get, no matter how much blessing we get, we are nothing more than servants that are worthy of nothing but to bow down at his feet. It's a privilege to be in the will of God. It is an absolute privilege to even know what God knows. Do you realize how few people in the world actually know what God wants out of them? And yet, if you have any understanding of the Bible, you know that God wants certain things. He expects certain things out of His people. Boy, that's a privilege to be able to know that And it's an utter shame to know it and to ignore it. Shame on you if you know this book right here and you decide to go off and live your life according to your own standards. That's shameful. If you know His will, if you understand His will, then there should be no question at all about fulfilling His will. Well, what does God want me to do? Well, I told you I wasn't going to answer that one for you. You know, that's a little tougher. We're going to explore it, though. Here's a couple of things about the will of God, and I want to get these things out of this chapter and kind of show you by the attitude that this servant had about how we can handle the will of God in our lives. And the first thing is if you notice it there in, let's see, where is it? About the end of verse 2, he says, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." Now, I don't know exactly what that meant. You know, where Abraham was sitting down, the guy had to tuck his hand under his, I can't visualize that part of it real good. But it's obviously a sign of submission. It's a sign of, it's an oath, some sort of an oath, some sort of a sign. Just like in certain parts, they would take off their shoe and give it to him for a sign. And so he says, "Put my hand under my thigh." Basically, what he's telling is, swear that you're going to do this. But then he doesn't tell him yet what he wants him to do. You know, there is nothing more tough than saying that you're going to do something and you don't know yet what it is that you're going to do. Yeah, your wife ever come to you? "Honey, could you do something for me?" Now, how many husbands say, "Sure, honey"? When I first got married, I did. I said, "Sure, honey." Now I say, "It depends." See, we've got some things to consider here. My wife says she wants me to do something. Okay, number one, I got to find out, you know, is it going to hurt? Because, you know, taking the trash, it was my mistake moving so far back off the road that I've got to walk 600 feet to the front. Taking out the trash can hurt, you know. You can hurt your back doing that, you know. So you got to find out, is it going to hurt? Number two, you know, is it going to cost money, you know? Because if she's saying, "Honey, can you pick up a few things on the way home?" You know, you got to be careful because it might cost you a whole L's few things, can really multiply. And then you don't have any lunch money for the next week. Is it going to cost me? You know, there's all these considerations. Well, you know, it's my wife's will. So, you know, if I'm a wise husband, I'll do my best to accommodate her. But, you know, we ought to be willing to say yes to God before He ever says a word. How many people look at the will of God and they say, you know, I would consider obeying God and doing His will, depending on what it is. And, you know, I've heard some of the, you know, "I'm just so afraid God is going to make me go to Africa or something." Well, you know, if you keep saying that, it's probably because He wants you to go to Africa, you know. He really does want you there. But you know, I bet you can take any of these missionaries that we have out of this church and says, is it a mistake to follow God? Is it a mistake to do His will? Is it a mistake to follow Him? It's not a mistake. You see, you can trust God. If I could put anything into your mind is that God is not like a lot of our fathers were. You know, hey, fathers are sinners. They do a lot of stuff just to be mean, just to be playful, you know, but you see, God, every decision that He makes is not only for the best for the whole big picture, but it's good for you in the long run. You say, well, how in the world could this suffering be good for me right now? Well, you may not see it, but that suffering fits into His bigger plan. And God has got a grand work that He's doing. It's amazing. I mean, you think of churches out in the middle of nowhere in Afghanistan, the middle of a war zone. God is still interested in saving people in this world. God has got things that He's doing. God has got His name that He wants to glorify. And God wants to use us to do it. Now, is that such a bad plan? Is God so hard and so unreasonable that you can't bow your knee and give everything to Him right now and saying, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm ready to do it even though I don't know what it is yet. When it comes to God's will, you ought to be willing to say yes right now before you know what He wants you to do. He put His hand under His thigh and He said, I'm ready. Okay, what is it? And then He laid out His plan. I want you to go into this far country, and I want you to get a wife. And the will of God is important. Our attitude towards the will of God is important. Look in verse 4 and 5 again. And let's reread those. You got some questions. He says, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife of my son Isaac. In verse 5, the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman would not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And it almost seems here, if you misinterpret it, if you look at it a certain way, it almost seems like this eldest servant is almost like he's arguing with Abraham. He's okay, Abraham, this is what you want me to do, but what if she was not willing to follow me? You know, what if for some reason I can't find her? You know, and he's got questions. You know, let me tell you something. There's nothing abnormal about having questions about the will of God. There's nothing abnormal with wanting clarification as to what God wants you to do. You know, this is actually to his benefit. There are too many people that think that they know what the will of God is, and they go rush right off pell-mell to do what they think God's will is, and they miss it completely because they misinterpreted something or they got something wrong. Listen, I tell you what this shows about this servant is that he was interested in the will of God enough to get clarification, enough to say, you know, I've got to really figure this out and know what this is. I've got to find out exactly what I'm going to do. You know, Isaiah was the same way. That angel came down and touched Isaiah's lips, and he said, man, here am I. I'll go. Send me. And he got ready to go, and he said, well, how long do I go, you know? How long am I supposed to preach? Well, till the cities be without inhabitant. Well, that's all I needed to know, you know? There's nothing wrong with getting clarification. What I see here is I see that it's each and every one of our jobs to do the best that we can to familiarize ourselves with the Word of God, with the will of God. It's pretty tough obeying what you don't know. It's pretty tough saying yes, and you don't know what it is that he's told you to do. And so he's not arguing here. He's just clarifying. He says, I really want to know specifically. There's nothing wrong with going to God and saying, Lord, I've got these choices right here to make. Which one do I pick? Now, I'm not saying that you lay three choices on notebook paper out on your bed like Hezekiah did and spread those things out before the Lord, that one of them is going to glow or something, or you're going to have some sort of a feeling about one. You know, but what I'm saying is that it's good to lay those things out. It's good to set the pros and cons. It's good to say, okay, if I go in this direction and this happens, what do I do? It's good to get yourself a counselor. And to sit down with somebody and say, look, these are things that I want to do with my life. What do you think? You know, there's nothing wrong with that at all. The will of God is important. You know, I don't want to get to the end of my life and then see that I missed everything, you know? Now, believe me, God, I don't believe that every little tiny decision has to be made with a counselor. You know, it's grade import or anything like that. But I'm saying the will of God is important enough that you ought to investigate it, that you ought to look at it, that you ought to be familiar with it. Look in verse 10. He got everything straightened out about what the will of God was. And in verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor. If there's one thing that I'm convinced of beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that God is a good provider. It is not God's intention to call you to do something and then not provide the means to do it. It's not God's intention to make us all witnesses for Him and then not to fill us with the power to be able to be witnesses for Him. It's not God's intention to call us to be godly men and then not give us the tools to be godly men. It's not God's intention to want us to do things and then to withhold the provisions that we think we need to do them. This one thing I saw about this servant, he had a command from his master. And so he had all the resources and the disposal of his master at his hand. And he took them all. He said, man, I need some camels. And he got the camels. He said, man, I need some bracelets and I need some rings and I need some other things. And he got those. And he says, I need some other servants. And he got whatever he needed to do the task. I remember when I surrendered to preach that there were so many doubts in my mind as to whether or not I could do it, whether or not I could ever handle it. But you know, God has supplied everything that I have ever needed. God's a good God, and God is a good supplier. Don't be afraid of the will of God because you're wondering, man, am I going to go out there and then God's just going to leave me out there in the middle of nowhere? God's not going to do it. He's not going to do it if you go off to college. God will follow you to college. God will be there. You say, man, can I be a testimony in college? You bet you can be a testimony in college. Not only that, God wants you to, and God will give you everything that you need. God will provide you with armor to keep you from temptation. God will provide you with the Word of God to keep you encouraged and to keep you strengthened. God will provide your physical strength. God will provide everything that you need. God will provide consolation when you need it. God's not going to just leave you off alone. Everything that He has is at our disposal. Isn't that an amazing thing? Sometimes we look at the bank accounts and we think, man, you know, things are just barely scratching by. Wish we could give more. Wish we could do this. But you know, actually, we've got everything that we need. God supplied that. I remember reading the story of Solomon. And the Lord just basically gave Solomon a blank check. And he asked Solomon, Solomon was getting ready to be king over Israel. And he asked Solomon, he says, what do you need? You know, man, he says, what are you going to ask of me? Man, can you imagine the temptation? If there were an angel that came down with a list and a pen ready to write it down and said, God sent me and said to find out what you needed, you know, anything, whatever it is. Oh, man, yeah, let's see. need a new truck. You know, it's hard to go downtown preaching, you know, if you don't have a new truck, you know. So, yeah, I need a new truck. Yeah, probably a better house, you know, because if the air conditioning is just a little bit colder and things are a little bit more comfortable, I can sure study a lot better for sermons, you know, and I probably need a new house, you know, I probably need better health, you know, because it's sure hard to preach when you got this and this, and we lay out all these things, but Solomon was an amazing thing. He didn't ask for the riches. He didn't ask for health. He didn't ask that God would give him a long life. He didn't ask for the honor. He said, Lord, you know that I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. I'm just a child. Lord, I need wisdom to judge this people. Boy, that's an amazing thing. Solomon saw the job that he had to do. He says, man, I have got to lead these people. I need wisdom more than anything else. And do you know what God did? God provided him with wisdom. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that God provides wisdom today? Some of you don't believe it because you haven't asked Him for it. He says, if any man ask of me. Well, I was going to quote that verse out of James, but if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I tell you what I'm doing here. I'm taking away one of your excuses not to do the will of God. I'm taking away an excuse. He said, well, I can't because, isn't that what Moses said? Lord, I'm slow of tongue. I can't do what you've asked me to do because I just can't speak. And he says, man, didn't I make the tongue? What other excuses in the past have there been that men have given in the face of God saying why they couldn't do something? Listen, all you need is God. That's all that you need. You don't need anything else. If you've got God on your side, then man, you're a majority where you are. And you can live for God. And you can actually do God's will. Look at verse 12. He got them camels and he took off, went to Mesopotamia, and he got to this place by this water, by this well, and he started praying. By the way, and we covered that in young people's class today, praying is a good thing. I had some of the young people explain to me and try to get me to believe again in prayer, and they did a pretty good job. You know, I do believe in prayer, by the way. It's a good thing to do. Hey, that was an excellent idea. When he got to that watering hole right there, he got down on his knees and he started praying. And look what he prayed. He said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Have you ever asked God's help to do His will? Have you ever asked Him to help you to do His will? When you get into temptation, into trouble, and you know it's God's will for you to take a stand, have you ever gotten down on your knees and said, Lord, I need a little strength to get through this temptation? Have you ever asked Him? Man, some people just simply roll over and play dead in the face of the devil, and they just give up before they ever start. Man, He is ready. He's willing. He's able to help you. And at some point, He's just waiting for you to call upon Him and ask Him. Why don't you take Him up on His resource a whole lot more than you do? Why don't you call upon His name a whole lot more than you do? Well, he got down on his knees and he started praying. And he said, behold, I stand here, verse 13. by the wells of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give the camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now I've got to be careful at this point in the story, because I'm drawing kind of an allegory here. I've got to be careful at this point. And I want you to know why, because so only certain people in the Bible can actually pray prayers like this. Now, I wouldn't suggest praying this particular prayer. And this is how it goes. Lord, if it's your will that I go in this particular direction, Lord, then let this and this and this happen. And so then you sit around and you wait for this and this and this to happen. And if this, this, and this happens, then you're great. Oh man, the Lord opened the door. It's ready. It's good. It happened to me one time. I was praying about a decision. I was trying to change jobs. I was driving a truck and I was trying to get off the road and I was trying to get to where I could be home every night. And MTA truck driving school, the test, I passed the test, went through the interviews, and they hired me. And the whole time, man, I'm getting excited. You know, I have all but put my 2 weeks notice in on my other job. And I was excited, man. The Lord was opening doors. It looked like it was going to work out real good. And then I got into the final interview. I'm signing papers. I'm getting ready to figure out when I'm going to start. And I said, Monday through Saturday, my schedule is going to be this right here, right? And she goes, Monday through Saturday? She said, I don't know if we explained this to you, but right now we're running 7 days a week. And she says, it's going to probably be a good 6-8 months before, I don't know, she might have said 3 months, I don't remember. But she said, give me a period of time, and she said, it's going to be a good period of time before you're going to be off on a Sunday. And all of a sudden I said, now wait a minute, you know. And I got kind of confused at that point, you know, because wasn't the Lord opening doors? Didn't He give me the job? Wasn't it there for my taking? Didn't I lay out my fleece before the Lord like Gideon did and said, man, if the fleece is dry and the grass is wet and the grass is wet and the fleece is dry, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And didn't He answer my prayer all the way through? It seems like it. And yet I got down to the end getting ready to sign the final paperwork and I find out I've got to work on Sundays. Well, all of a sudden, open door or no open door, I was out of there. I didn't take the job. You see, you've got to be careful when you're trying to decide the will of God about setting up scenarios for God, about putting out these little fleeces before God, because sometimes they can leave you in more doubt than they will in assurance. Look at this particular passage right here. Verse 21, it said, the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Okay, now what just happened? The Lord had answered his request right down to the letter, didn't He? I mean, man, a damsel came out just like He said, came out, offered to water the camels just like He said, did everything just like He set it up for God. God set it up for him and answered it, had mercy on him, and I mean, just took care of it all the way through. And yet at the end, did he have assurance as to whether God answered his prayer? He said, well, the man wondering held his peace, to wit the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Gideon, after he'd gotten his fleece taken care of, he had his fleece and he did all these manipulations, he still wasn't sure. He was still, okay, Lord, one more time, just to make sure. You know, listen, we don't tempt God. We don't set up God and put God in scenarios. That's not a wise thing to do. It's not a good thing to do. But let me ask you a question. You're wondering, okay, well then, man, how am I going to find out what a particular direction is? Well, one thing is when I had that job interview, I realized when they told me I was going to work on Sundays, that violated one of my principles. I don't work on Sundays. And so, it was obvious to me, if it violated that principle, I'm a preacher of the gospel. God has called me to be right here on Sunday, no matter where else I work the rest of the week. And so I couldn't do it. By the same token, if God opens a door for you to work somewhere and you're selling alcohol or you're selling pornography, then that's obviously not God's will for you. And it doesn't matter what kind of fleece you laid out before Him. It doesn't matter what kind of open door it is. There is another closed door besides that. There is more to God's will than just simply setting up scenarios and say, Lord, if this is of you, then let it work out. Be real careful about setting open doors or closed doors before the Lord. Now, I want to show you something in the book of Acts. Look in the book of Acts. In chapter 16, look in verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia praying him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now what happened here? What did they do? They decided they were going to go, they prayed about it, they got their stuff together, and they were going to go over here to preach the gospel. Man, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? What happened? God shut the door. God slammed it shut in one particular spot. So did that mean that God's will was that they didn't preach the gospel? No. They started going in another direction. And what happened? God slammed the door again. And it wasn't until the third time that finally God opened the door and said, okay, I want you to go in here. And the way was open and they went in. Sometimes obtaining the specific will of God that God wants for you isn't always the easy thing to do. But here's what they did. And there was a comment made by this servant back there in Genesis where he says, being in the way, the Lord led me. Amen. You know, I'll tell you something for sure, for definite. Not many people find the will of God by sitting on their couch and eating Cheetos or cheese puffs all day. Whatever your preference is, Cheetos or cheese puffs. We had an argument the last time I used that illustration. Cheetos or cheese puffs? I don't care. Did you get my point? Most likely, you're not going to find the will of God by relaxing and doing nothing. You know, I would say this about the will of God. Don't be afraid. Don't be so immobilized about making the wrong decision that you don't make any decision. Man, you're protected, number one, by several things. You're protected by the Word of God. So already, in the principles that are laid out in this book right there, you can protect yourself from immoral decisions. You can protect yourself from harmful decisions. You can protect yourself from many decisions. But there is no verse in this book that tells you what college to go to. There's no verse in this book right here that tells you exactly who to marry. Even though I heard a story about a woman one time and she was searching the scriptures and she found she had a boyfriend named Mark and she found that verse in Psalms that said Mark, the perfect man. And she really believed that that was God's call for her to marry Mark. It wasn't Bettina. I'm not talking about being mystical with the book. Some people, they wanted to find out what the word. I remember Joe Benedetti, he was preaching one time, and he said there was this guy that wanted to know the will of God for his life, so he put the book down and he flipped it like that, and he, boom, like this. You ever done that? Yeah, some of you have. Okay, Lord, what do you got to say to me today, you know? And it said, Judas hanged himself. Oh, man, that ain't it, man. He said, I'm gonna be like Gideon. I'm gonna do this again, because I'm gonna. And so he did it again, you know, he's flipping around, you know, and he landed it down. And he hit another verse, and it says, do thou likewise. Oh, man. I'm going to give you one more chance, God, one more chance. So he's flipping around again, and he flips his hand down in there, and it says, what thou doest, do quickly. Listen. The will of God ain't going to be found by the hunt and peck method, okay? Putting your Bible like this on the dashboard and letting it fall open is not the way to find the will of God. The will of God is looked by searching these principles and by knowing already where you are, what God wants you to live for, how God wants you to live, what He wants you to do. And why is it that Paul and these guys could determine when it finally worked out, man, God wants us to go into Macedonia? Because Paul and his companions were praying. Paul and his companions were serving where they were right then. They weren't simply spectators. They didn't have this book on the shelf and they didn't ignore it and leave it alone. Their knees were always on the ground praying. They were always seeking God's face. They were always looking for opportunities to be a blessing and do His will. And so it's no wonder people like that find out what God wants them to do. Now, I wish I could say that all you have to do is do step A, B, and C, and you will know exactly what God does. Sometimes I don't think it makes a big difference whether you go to this college or whether you go to that college. You go to this college, God could bless you. You go to that college right there, God could bless you. You marry this person up here, if it's a godly man or a woman that has commitment in his heart, you could prosper and you could benefit. If you married that one over there, and they also had commitment in their heart, and they had godly wisdom, then you could prosper also. Some people are so scared of the will of God that they freeze up and don't do anything. Well, man, what I'm saying is, what can you do right now? How can you live right now to be as close to God as you possibly can? Those who seek His will are the ones who often understand what His will is. He tells us in Ephesians, he says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. I'm telling you, you're going to find yourself in a much better position if you stop being a spectator and start realizing that you are part of this work that God has called us to do. You are a part of the assembly, the church of the living God. Not only that, but you are a part of this world. God has a place for you in this world somewhere. Look what he says in verse 26. It said the man, this is after the woman had already taken him into the house, the man bowed down his head, and he worshiped the Lord. In another place, over there in verse 33, it says they wanted to set meat before him and he wanted to do this. And he says, I will not eat until I have told my errand. Another place he fell down and he worshiped again. One of the things that I think that's important when considering the will of God is when God does reveal something to you. When God actually uses you in a situation. I mean, there's a particular situation where it seems like you were at the right place at the right time, and it was almost unmistakable that God put you there for a reason. Whether it's maybe in a hospital room at just the right moment to be a comfort to somebody. Whether it's at a friend's house at just the right moment to provide some spiritual counsel. Whether it's witnessing to someone, I mean, just at the right time and place where it's just absolutely obvious that God has orchestrated it. Man, what I'm saying is don't forget to be appreciative of the Lord for what He's done. You know, God in many ways uses us all the time, and then we forget about it and we go our way. We wonder, man, I wish God was using us. Man, if you had your eyes open, you would see and you would understand the things that God does every day. How often do you worship God? How often do you return what He's given to you? You know, I just think God has given me such a great ministry, such a wonderful job. And I really am convinced. I mean, there's no shadow of a doubt. There was a time where I didn't know, God, do you want me to be a missionary or do you want me to be a pastor? I didn't know that. I didn't know whether God, I was thinking maybe new tribes over here. I was looking at a lot of different options. I wasn't really sure what God wanted me to do. I was doing what God told me to do. I was knocking on doors. I was preaching. I was witnessing. I was reading my Bible. I was praying. I was doing all these things. But I didn't know. But you know, when it was obvious, when it was just obvious that the Lord had opened the door and that this is where He wanted me, it was obvious that God was shutting out all the other doors and He was opening up this one, and God called me to be a pastor here. Man, I was so thankful. I was so appreciative. Can you imagine? You know what we are? I know my past. You know what I am? I'm a wretch. I mean, I could be just like all the rest of you and lay out all my sins and tell you what I used to do. I used to be this. I used to think like that. I used to be this and that. And believe me, my past is no triumph. It's not something I'm proud of. I can't understand why some people go boasting about their sin and parading about like it's some big deal, like they were some big sinner. Man, it's shameful. It's disgusting. Yeah. Man, your wicked past is nasty to God. It's an abomination to Him. And so there's nothing there to be proud of. Can you imagine? God takes just a wicked sinner. God saves his soul. God changes his life. And then God puts him into His plan at some point in some time. I bet you go back and you talk to Rahab the harlot. Do you realize where she is in the scriptures? Do you realize her lineage, where she is? Man, she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. She is right there, man. You can put her in there. She is right there. And she was a harlot. And she was a Canaanite. And she wasn't worth nothing. Yet she had a little bit of faith. And she cried out to God. And God had mercy on her. And saved her and her family from a city that was doomed for destruction. And God pulled her out. And God made her somebody in His kingdom. And let me tell you, you and I, we're part of the same human race. Our human race is fitted for destruction. God says He's going to destroy everything. He's going to destroy everything in this entire world. And right now, God is taking out of them a people for His name. And He took you out of the heathen, and you're not appreciative of it? He gave you an opportunity to know and to do His will, and you just shoot it right back in His face and said, "No, thank you, God. I think I'll do what I want to do." Oh man, what a privilege we have to be able to be in His will. And here was the servant. His servant wasn't dragging his feet and grumbling and complaining and telling about how hard his lot was and how unfair it was that God put him where he was. He was on his face and he was worshiping God and he was telling God how good he was and how majestic he was and how thankful and appreciative he was that God had put him into his work. Let me tell you something. This is not a drudgery. This is a privilege. For you to be here right now, it is a privilege. To be in His work is a privilege. To know His will and to do His will is one of the greatest privileges anybody could ever have. Don't despise His will. Seek His will out. Take His will seriously and investigate and pray and find out, what does God want me to do? Let's pray. Lord, I pray for everybody in this room today, but Lord, I pray especially for these young adults, many getting ready to make decisions, some already made decisions and are going in certain directions. Oh God, we pray for them. We lift them up to You. I pray, Lord, that You would just fill them with Your Spirit. I pray for every young person that goes their way that, Lord, that they would impact where they are for You. I pray that each and every one of them would be a witness. Each and every one of them would be godly men and godly women. I pray that You give them the courage and the strength to take stands for righteousness and for godliness. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us here. Thank You for putting us into Your will. Thank You, Lord, for having a plan for us. Thank You, Lord, for delivering us from destruction. Thank You, Lord, for putting us into Your work. Oh, we do magnify You today. Lord, You are so good and so righteous to even use us. Oh, we're so unworthy, and yet You've called us Your servants. Oh, Lord, we thank You. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that doesn't know Your will or is even right now wrestling with and seeking to find out what Your will for their life is, I pray, Lord, that You would just open their eyes and give them an assurance and show them what direction You want them to go. Lord, finally, I thank You that You're not willing that any should perish. And I pray that if there's anyone here today that is lost and is not saved, Lord, that today would be the day that they call upon Your name and ask You to forgive their sins and save their soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.